Feminists Without Mystique, a podcast where we process politics, sex, and the unrelenting fire hose of bullshit in the news through an unapologetically feminist lens. Each week, we'll begin by venting about the news, go deep on one important issue, call out terrible things happening below the top headlines in a statement called, "We See You," and then we'll end with something hopeful. Hurrah.
Hurrah.
Hurrazi-razis.
Ugh.
Before we dive into our main topic today is we're gonna have a little fun.
Yeah.
We're gonna have a little fun.
We're waiting on the Mueller report to be released.
Speaking of fun.
Yeah. Just feels like a lot of the news is sort of in a state of limbo. Mm-hmm. It's not like everyone has announced that's going to announce for 2020.
Joe Biden, we're gonna talk about you in a minute.
Yeah. But, yeah, and we're still, like, there are so many shoes that have to drop. We didn't talk about this before, but did you see, like, yesterday the main headlines were, like, again, one of the whistleblowers, like, in the White House was saying that there were, like, an alarming number of people that were denied clearances initially at the White House.
Yeah, they just be doing that. They don't.
For criminal stuff, for criminal wrongdoing, drugs, for conflicts of interest, like, all of it.
It's fine.
But her emails.
But her emails. Have you thought about her emails, though?
I don't think you've considered them. Like, every day. Every goddamn day.
She's been triggered.
Anyway, while we wait for... There seems to be a lot swirling in the news that has yet to really...
To land, you know.
Yeah, you know, will Trump close the border to Mexico? I almost, like, hope he does, you know? Like, that would be such a colossal thing. It would just cause so much damage immediately within the first day. It would be such a fucking mess.
That would be a clusterfuck and a half. You cannot do this.
Like, of course I don't want him to do it, but right. It's almost like, dare you?
Yeah, because it's like if he did, it would be so awful.
Yeah,
it's like don't do it, but if you do it,
like
what's gonna happen here?
Yeah,
this will be
bad.
We're bad news bears. Oh, he's such a piece of shit. Surprise.
But we're taking a break from that.
Yes. We each are, well, first we'll talk about a couple of little a couple of white men, but then white men are fine. But we're just gonna do a little fun thing where we each kind of like decide, like, all right, let's each look up like five surprising facts about random shit from whatever to whatever, because I don't know what she did, she don't know what I did.
Yeah.
And then just discuss them.
Yeah.
You know, educate each other, have a little fun, probably be a little depressed, who knows? kind of keep it a little lighter and not lighter, depending on what we both have.
Yeah,
a couple
we
of mine
both
are like kind of sad, but some of mine are like fun.
Yeah, we both don't know what each other has picked for these five, like, fun/maybe depressing facts we don't know.
I'm assuming all of yours are about Hamilton.
No, actually.
Oh, my goodness.
None of them are about Hamilton.
We both did restraint. We both did restraint. I restrained.
I'm happy to,
turtles do something weird. They fart somewhere weird, but I forgot because I didn't save that as my fact.
Somewhere weird?
They fart, like, out of a weird orifice. I don't even remember
because
I didn't... Yeah. Well, anyway.
Okay. I mean, that is an interesting animal fact. Like,
yeah, but I don't even know the full fact because I tried to limit my animal facts. And so now I'm just fake news.
Now you're just here without a turtle fart fact for
looking like a fool. A real fool. Anyway, should we talk about Joe Biden?
Yeah, that kills the laughter real quick.
Yeah.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Joe.
I say it ain't so, Joe.
Say it ain't so. I mean, it's so.
It is definitely so. It's been so for...
So.
It's been so for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
So.
So.
The end.
My goodness.
Good night.
His apology... So a woman... Is it Allison Flores? Lucy Flores has basically given an account of an uncomfortable, gross experience where Joe Biden, like, sort of inhaled her. You know, he was just, like, way too close in her personal space. Gave her this, like,
inhaled weird... It's such a real thing, though.
It is, though. Like, men sniffing your space, your hair, your perfume. It's just... It's a real thing.
Yeah, getting sniffed in a weird way. leave it to the dogs.
Oh, my God. So she basically told this story. She said she felt uneasy when he kind of, like, leaned in and, you know, basically that she felt gross and violated. And or she didn't use the word violated, actually, just that she felt uneasy. And she's just describing this kind of vague interaction that they had. And Joe Biden's response was, quote, "In my many years on the campaign trail and in public life, I have offered countless handshakes, hugs, expressions of affection, support, and comfort. And not once, never, did I believe I acted inappropriately. If it is suggested I did so, I will listen respectfully, but it was never my intention."
Yeah, like... You're partway there, you know, like, I think a real apology needs to show an understanding of why someone's upset and an indication that that behavior won't continue. And I think to do that, again, you need to understand why are they mad or why they're upset. What did you do?
Yeah.
Getting caught up all in their space and power dynamics and work and... dudes, and it's just, it's a whole thing. Don't sniff women unless, like, she wants to be sniffed.
Yeah, so, like,
you know that. She's, like, into sniffing and snarfing, like, sniff and snarf.
Yeah, and you probably won't know that if you're the vice president of the United States and this isn't someone that you're intimate with.
And if you're meeting someone for the first time, don't rub their nose unless, I don't know every tradition in the world, but, like, unless you're sure.
Yeah. And even if you're sure, why don't you just turn it over one more time in your head?
Yeah, like, would you prefer I shake your hand or rub my nose against your nose? What are you into? At that point, I'd say neither if you're asking me that question. But at least ask the question.
Yeah.
You know, don't, you know, rub your body on someone's body in any way unless, you know.
It's invited and enthusiastically.
Right.
Like, obvious.
You know...
And just, that's not an apology. That's like, we don't need you to just listen respectfully. That's not really where the bar, I mean, the bar is already really low, but, like, ideally for someone who's going to be running for president in 2020 as a Democrat.
The front runner.
The front runner without even doing anything is, like, I need you to not just talk about your intent, because the intent kind of stops where your fucking hands and your mouth and your breath begin. Like, I don't care what your intent is when you are touching me.
Right. Especially when you can't own up to it at a certain point. Because it's like, I can, you know what, I can give... He didn't grab him by the pussy. Like, I could forgive him if he had, like, especially on his own volition, come forward and, like, really explained, like, how he fucked it up, how he was wrong, how it came from this place and that doesn't make it okay and, like, blah, blah, you know, all that shit. But he didn't do that. He just was trying to, like, kind of cover all his bases and, you know, I like him as a human, but, like, don't do that shit.
No.
It's, you know.
And I don't really believe that
assault
that came...
Assault adjacent. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't believe that that apology came really from him, really. It felt like it was from, like, five PR people and, like, his handlers and... You know, just like it was overworked, and so it didn't really feel like it wasn't an apology, and it didn't feel like it was like something Joe Biden was saying.
Right, it didn't feel genuine.
Yeah,
and you know, and I don't, you know, I don't buy into the shit that, oh, he's too old to run or this or that. But, like, come on, you gotta, if you want to be president, please. I mean, current whoever aside, you gotta kind of. Own up to your shit. I think we're looking for someone now that's more of a, like, human person who is just honest and genuine and segue.
Yeah.
I feel like that's why a lot of people are connecting with underdog Pete Buttigieg.
Yes, yes, our Oxford, I'm going to keep calling him a little Oxford Norwegian-speaking button.
He's such a button. I love him. He's so smart. He's so wonderful. He's so great. So one thing I wanted to chat real quick about before we dive into our fun slash
fun times.
Some not fun, but like mostly fun, I think. I don't know. We'll see. Surprise. Dan Savage wrote this article for The Stranger. I love Dan Savage. His podcast, Savage Love, yes. His column, yes. He's, created the It Gets Better Project, which is great. Mm-hmm. For LGBTQ youth and all this stuff. Anyway, about a month ago, he wrote this article about how, if you donate money to any candidate, it should be Pete. And here's why. And then, mm-hmm. a couple days ago, he released this article that was, he'll be a great president in 20 years. Mm. And, he's citing, one, his age, and two, his lack of, senatorial experience, which, up until recent years wasn't really a thing. It's, mm-hmm. I don't think being a, it was kind of governors for a while, and now it's just, I guess, whoever. But, mayors do have sort of executive experience in a way, and
yeah.
He turned South Bend the fuck around. He's done mm-hmm. all this amazing shit, and I think that the points, I'm sure there are going to be points that can be used against him and good debates, but I just think it's valid and mm-hmm. leave Pete alone.
Yeah, especially considering, I'm a little confused about maybe this was in the article, but why the change of heart on that?
I don't know if he just was trying, he wanted him to get to the debates. He wanted his voice there, but he's like, I don't know. You'd have to ask Dion.
Yeah, but that's just disappointing. Because I think that we both came into, because obviously it's not it's still early, but Pete is the front runner for me, and that
me too, and
came
it's
out of
bonkers.
Nowhere.
Yeah. He just keeps doing it. And
yeah.
He's just killing. It's too early. I have no idea. I truly have no idea who I'm going to vote for in the primaries at this
yeah.
point. But right now, he's just getting me, man. He's just
yeah.
getting me. And I think that's a common experience. He is just, his polling, he's not at the top, but he's pulling ahead and ahead and ahead and raising more and more money. It's mm-hmm. the more he speaks and the more people get to know him, the more people love him.
Yeah. He's a promising one.
He's a promising one.
And his hubs is pretty awesome on Twitter.
Oh, he's fun.
He's very fun.
He's a fun guy.
And relatable.
Yes.
Highly recommend.
Yeah, I'd be down for Pete, 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 Pete. Should we move into some facts?
Yeah, some fun facts.
They're not all fun.
Right. No, they aren't. They're all interesting, though.
Mm-hmm.
I wager.
We wager.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to start or would you like me to start? I was thinking for mine, I'm going to start with the less fun and get into the fun and kind of
Okay.
Lighten it up, but who knows?
Okay. Yeah. Why don't you start?
Do you want me to take it away?
Take it away.
Do you want me to start it?
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. So my first, and some of mine, two of mine are just banged my ring against my tea mug. Sorry.
Oh my gosh, is it your?
It's my engagement ring. So I'm getting married, and I now have purpose in the world because a man loves me. Anyway, a couple of mine, I'm lumping very, very similar facts together, but
okay.
not a bunch. It's just,
Got it. I'm on board.
Get off my back.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is, it's depressing, but let's talk about it. So a few days ago, it was Trans Day of Visibility.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of with that in mind, there are some disheartening research, and I knew there were certain numbers out there. I didn't realize how bad it was. So from the National Transgender Discrimination Survey, 41% of the transgender people that they spoke to had attempted at some point to take their own life.
Mm.
And when they had to sort of identify the biggest cause, which I think is also hard to parse out, it's this one thing, but
mm-hmm.
sexual assault, physical assault, harassment in school, and job loss due to bias
mm.
were those. And sort of piggybacking off of that statistic, There are, let's see, 19% of trans people that were polled had suffered domestic abuse because of their gender nonconformity. And there are 32 of the 50 states transgender individuals can still be fired or denied employment for their identity. So
yeah, those aren't fun facts.
Yeah, 41% attempted suicide. That's almost half.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's just important to take a moment and just why people feel this way because the world is awful to them, but like why must we be so judgmental and shitty and just like let people live their lives? Like, what are you so why?
Yeah,
be better. What's the point of being shitty to people because you don't understand who they are? And that, and there's also, it shouldn't matter, but like there is a scientific basis for people who are trans. It's like, no, they are, this is who they are, this is their true gender. Why are we denying this? Why are we fighting? Like, why do people feel the need to fight these things that have nothing to fucking do with them?
It's like, it just feels like such such brutal punching down, you know, you like, because for some people, I think there's power in knowing that, well, at least I can like kick downward at another group that are like an easy target for
bigotry. Yeah, this group's marginalized. Let me just fuck around and be an awful person, you know.
And make up like non-issues, you know, like the bathroom bills. Not a real problem.
Trans people are assaulted at much higher rates than cis people.
Yeah.
You know, like what, why are, there is the risk to cis people having trans people in bathrooms, it's not a thing. It's not real. It's just this like thing that's created by the right and...
Which is...
Idiots.
Yeah.
Idiots.
Like, let's be more concerned about, and also when people are like, I don't want my kids saying that, it's like, well, let's be a little bit more...
Human beings being who they are and, like, existing in the world in the way that...
Right, and also, like,
everyone else is allowed to.
You're not concerned about your kid being shot up in schools, you know?
Right, like, or if your kid's trans and they're safe. Like, we need to be worried about the safety of trans people when we look at the statistics of hate crimes and things. Yeah. You don't need to be worried about...
Let's worry about actual hate crimes and actual, like, violence against people.
Right. Like, which...
Look at the actual facts.
Let's look at the facts! yeah, people are awful sometimes, and just, you know, if you don't understand something and it... Just, like, learn about it instead of having this, like, knee-jerk reaction where you're just being an asshole.
Yeah.
You know? Fuck the haters!
That's terrible.
Yes. All right. Your turn. I have fun ones too.
Oh my gosh. All right. Yeah. Let me just hop to one that is like less fun, but you know, kind of interesting. Basically, I saw this article last summer, and I've just been thinking a lot about it because it's crazy to me. But essentially, you know, that tuberculosis shaped Victorian fashion, and that we're basically still thinking about female beauty, and it's framed through this prism of what was considered beautiful in the 19th century in the Victorian era, which was basic. What was considered beautiful was women literally dying of consumption slowly.
Love it. And heroin chic.
Yeah, like that influenced trends and essentially like it's just let's see. Before the advent of antibiotics, its victims slowly wasted away, becoming pale, thin, before finally dying of what was then known as consumption.
Yes, fashion.
But yeah, it was romanticized, and beauty standards were like highlighting the effects of consumption. So the quote that I've always thought is kind of interesting from this woman who wrote a book called Consumptive Chic, A History of Fashion, Beauty, and Disease, which I really want to buy, actually, because I'm fascinated.
Do it, girl. Amazon.
Yeah.
Not sponsored.
Between 1780 and 1850, there's an increasing aestheticization of tuberculosis that becomes entwined with feminine beauty. During that time, basically, consumption was thought to be a hereditary thing. Among the upper class, one of the ways people judged a woman's predisposition to tuberculosis was by her attractiveness.
Because layers are fucked up.
Quote, that's because tuberculosis enhances those things that are already established as beautiful in a woman, such as thinness, pale skin, as a result of weight loss, and the lack of appetite caused by the disease.
Yikes.
Oh, and then sparkling or dilated eyes, rosy cheeks, red lips, also common, and frequently caused by a low-grade fever.
sexy. Fun.
So that I find really interesting.
It's interesting. Well, I feel like a lot of what, like, I mean, you think about things like, I don't know, even heels. Like, they're, I mean, nowadays there's technology available where they're more comfortable sometimes. But, like, oftentimes they're just excruciating. And there's actually one fact I looked up that was, like, they make your ass look, like, 25% rounder or something.
Oh, heels do?
Yeah. And it's just, like, there are all these, like, torture devices that are like, oh, well, now you look more beautiful.
Yeah.
Can we just...
This is crazy. And the influence of, like, a disease on an aesthetic that we still are trying to move away from.
Yeah.
You know, models on the runway as of this, like, year could be dying of tuberculosis.
It's, like, certain places now they're, like, raising the bottom BMI. Because, like, yeah, there are some women that are just naturally super, super fucking thin. But for the most part, that's not the case. And if that is the standard of beauty, it's just setting everyone up for some real disappointment and sadness, and, you know, if we just hold people to these standards based on tuberculosis.
Yeah.
Like
rouging your cheeks and everything. Yeah, it's just like, whew, my goodness.
I'm just thinking Nicole Kidman and Moulin Rouge right now.
Oh. I mean, she did
die. She had tuberculosis.
Yeah,
right?
She died of consumption.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Consumption. And she got it. You know what I mean? She was getting it.
Mm-hmm. That's totally, yeah.
Yeah, well, we glamorize unhealthy things. You know, just look at the Kardashians and their, what they're trying to sell on the Instagrams, you know?
I just saw something about that with, like, the, I saw, oh my gosh, the person in the good place,
Oh, Pramila?
Pramila, yeah.
Jamil? What's...
Jamila Pribilla.
Jamila Pribilla.
Jamila, Jamila. What's her name?
Place. It is Jamila, I think.
Jamila.
Okay, got it. Yes. We got there. Yeah, I didn't know of her before The Good Place, but she's great.
She's great. My only issue is that, like, she's fucking gorgeous, so I don't, like, need her.
I guess she used to be, like, when she was a teen and stuff, she was super, like, she considered herself, like, very, very overweight, and she was bullied for her weight and stuff.
Okay, maybe. I'll believe it when I see it.
That's where it comes from.
Okay, well, she's gorgeous. So, I mean, I love body positivity, but when I hear it from her, I'm like, yeah, but, like, brave.
I mean, yeah, she is conventionally very, very attractive. That wasn't always the case, I suppose. And I guess that's where it all sort of stems from.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she was talking about the Kardashians, mm-hmm. and she was saying, like, she was trying to call them out, basically saying, mm-hmm. like, why can't you say no to some of these, like, companies that are really sort of not body positive
and that don't,
they're touting
they don't
project.
Work. Yeah. These things that don't work. Yeah. Like the tummy, what is it, flat tummy tea or some shit that they're always like selling.
I don't know.
And they're like, with this, I did it. I'm like, no, girl, you did that with like your personal trainer, your plastic surgery, your nutritionist. It's like, which, fine, like do it. You got the money. You want to do that? That's what you want to do?
Yeah.
Go for it. But don't tell me that this tea is what did it. Because then all these like, you know, these young gals on Instagram who are like, oh, I want to be, you know, they're so beautiful. I want to be like that. I just need this tummy tea. And then it doesn't work. And it's just,
yeah, and then they probably feel like they're doing something wrong when, in fact, it's the stupid tea.
Right, it's not real.
Yeah.
It's not real. Tea's not gonna do it.
No. I wish.
We're both drinking tea.
Yeah.
Man, I've got a Lipton and you got a peppermint.
Some peppermint.
Get some peps.
Mm-hmm.
So mine actually kind of, this is my next sort of sad one, kind of piggybacks off of that.
Okay.
So, and this is another... This is my only other one that's actually, that's like a combination of things. Mm-hmm. So among high school students, 44% of girls are attempting to lose weight compared to 15% of guys.
15% of guys?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Over 70% of girls aged 15 to 17 avoid normal daily activities such as school when they feel bad about their looks.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh no, I need to pull it back up. I'm so sorry, everybody. And 75% of girls with low self-esteem reported engaging in activities like cutting, bullying, smoking, drinking, or disordered eating. And that's compared to 25% of girls with high self-esteem. So that's 75 to 25.
Mm.
Oh, and then this just one last little bit on this that I just needed to, because I just resonated with this from my youth. Mm. Teen girls that have a negative view of themselves are 4 times more likely to take part in activities with boys that they've ended up regretting later.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just, like, I think it really highlights, not to say that young boys don't have their own, you know, self-esteem issues and things that can impact them, but I think there's this just, you know, they're just really sort of depressing and illuminating things about what it's like to be a young gal in the world and how much pressure there is to, like, look in a certain way and how much that impacts just, like, you know, everything in your life and, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I can't imagine growing up with... I mean, we had AIM, and it was bitching.
God.
I had the most depressing away messages. Just, like, sad song lyrics. But, you know, I think if I grew up with, like, Instagram and Facebook, mm-hmm. it would just be, like, a whole different ball game. Because it's
next
so unrealistic.
Level.
Like, people try and go and get plastic surgery to look like Instagram filters. It's just, you know...
You're getting such an unrealistic idea of how people's lives are and what they're doing. And and even with, like, Snapchat and the Insta stories, like, it seems... I mean, more and more people... I still am trying to fight the Insta story because it's, like, I just... I do not want to be responsible for that volume of what people are doing every day. Even if it's stuff that I'm interested in, I'm sure, like, and I Yeah, it is so much information about people's lives that's specifically to make other people feel bad. You know, not always, but, like, there's a lot, especially in the teen years. And
oh, the teen years.
But, I mean, but also as adults. I mean, let's not give adults a lot of credit in this way. Like, a lot of people post
We should
things.
Have less credit because, like, we should know better.
We should,
right. Your brain's, you know, your frontal lobe's not done until you're, what, 25?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I think guys are even, you know. Later.
Does it ever?
Is it? No.
Does it ever finish? Just kidding. Of course. Of course. Of course.
extended adolescence is, like, really pushing, you know, 35, 40. That's really sad. And all those statistics make sense. I mean, I think there were definitely days that I did not... There were definitely days that I tried not to go to school because I was just... so uncomfortable in who I was.
Same. Boys didn't like me until they did, like, in private, you know?
I didn't, I mean, like, and this is a, like, kind of a fucked up way to think back, but it's like, I almost just said, like, I didn't even have that, you know? And it's like, well, that wouldn't have been good either, you know? But I definitely, it was not the subject of, like, a lot of like positive male attention. And there was even like one time that this almost went in our Valentine's Day episode, but it's like doesn't even deserve to be there. But there was this guy who was sitting next to me, and I mean, I wore like huge sweatshirts for middle school, but then tried to sort of be a little more branch out in high school, but still like, I don't know, never really nailed it in terms of like outfits.
I'm but, sure you nailed it, and you know,
no, I live absolutely your- did not. but I was sitting in class next to like this guy who I think was supposed, like we were, it was assigned seats pretty much, but I just remember, maybe it was like time where you could walk around or whatever, and he like so loudly said, I'm gonna go sit next to Hillary because she's hot. And I was just, and he was sitting right next to me, and I was like,
those are the things.
In this moment, like, and rippling through my whole life, it's just like, that is hell.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, I think that was, like, I just was looking outside thinking, like, if I just, like, walked, like, into the woods right now, you know, like, like, but, and that's just, that's like one small anecdote of one moment in one high school of one person who wasn't, didn't even have it that bad. Like,
yeah, it's brutal. And then you just like, because of all the, because of what you see around you, what people are, like your peers are valuing, what you see on the TV and all the things, like you just, you, your worth comes from what, how attractive other people think you are when you're a girl a lot of the times when you're growing up, you know, it's just, you find value that in that. And then when you don't, you know, when you don't believe yourself to be beautiful, even though that can mean a million things, which we know now that we're grown, you know, I mean, struggle every day, but, even though that can, it just, at the time, it's just, it's so earth shattering.
Yeah.
You know, you just want to be all these things
and to get this like male or get for whoever, whatever you're interested in, you want the attention of those people and the validation.
Positive attention.
The positive attention, not explicitly negative attention. My God.
Yeah. Well, that just fucks, you know, cause you're already like, you're already sensitive at that age for a number of reasons. And it's just a pile on.
And those anecdotes do not go away. You know, everyone
no,
has
it. It
you
sticks
know,
with you. Like I'm still working through middle school and high school and college
and work and
And it's like all those experiences I feel like build on each other.
Yeah.
And just like you don't get used to it. It just sort of like you know pummels you down into a sad person.
Yeah, and then you like snap at someone at a party or a bar or something, and it's like, where did that come from? Well, a lot of stuff. So
let me take you on a journey here. All right, should we? All right, let's more.
Yeah, more.
More. Should we just do two more each? Should we? How many have we done?
We've only done one.
I did two. You did one.
Yeah.
So maybe you did two.
Mine are actually, I can, the mine are kind of quick. We don't have to like, the next one for me is just like a fun fact. It's not.
Yes. I got one of those too.
It's just like an interesting thing that when I was visiting, my sister in Scotland and we went to Loch Ness. And this is like a fact that I think about all the goddamn time because I'm just like, how is this real? I feel like it's fake. I've tried to Google like way more info on it and it's hard to find because it's just like, oh yeah, this is a fact and here's the math that backs it up. And I'm just like, yeah, but don't give me the math. Like someone just, I guess, explain it to me. Like,
explain it to me.
Explain it to me like I don't know math. But basically, if you emptied the water in Loch Ness, it could hold the population of the world 10 times over.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Doesn't that blow your mind?
My mind
pieces?
Is blown. How does that even?
I know.
How does it even? What?
You're like the computing emoji. Like,
what is this? Yeah. I have a soft spot for the Loch Ness Monster. And if you drain it, where do they go? That's crazy,
That's
though.
The thing, though. Whenever I Google, like, Loch Ness, it's like, all the info about Nessie.
Nessie, yeah. Apparently there's Champ in Vermont. Or is it Vermont? Anyway.
Oh, for like, is that Champlain? No, I don't know.
It's like America's Loch Ness.
Oh, come
on. It was on the side of a U-Haul truck.
Ew. Let's just let Scotland have their thing.
America needs it. That's adorable and weird and scary.
I know. I love that. And then when you're like kind of standing, at like we were standing there and I just was thinking like, this is really... Like, is there a monster in there? And also, like,
is there a monster in 10,000?
Like, yeah, it's just so yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right, I'll do a quick little funsies.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, wearing socks during sex makes it easier for you to come.
What?
Yeah, research has suggested it's easier to come when your feet are warm. So we make all these jokes about these people in their socks while they're fucking, and apparently.
Really?
They're ahead of the curve, yeah.
That's...
What if you put, like, heating pads on your feet while you're boning? how far does this
wow.
go?
Wow. What if you do the... Remember, like, those things when you get, like...
remember what?
Remember when, like, getting a pedicure and they put that, like, thing mm-hmm. around your feet because it's, like, for...
Oh, the warmth.
But it's, like, probably yeah. for calluses. It's, like, wax.
If you could just get someone to go down on you while they're doing that... Like, yeah. not that works there, because it's...
Yeah.
But...
Maybe not, like, there, because then that would be a whole different thing.
Yeah, no, not there.
That would be, like, a sex parlor.
At home.
Yeah. At home. Interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
So, now, I don't know, put some toe socks on, have a ball. toe sock.
Oh, my gosh.
What's next, baby?
So... I love this story. This was from October, and I think a book is coming out soon that talks a little bit more about it. But so the first female Supreme Court Justice, mm-hmm. Sandra Day O'Connor, and the former Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, William Rehnquist, mm-hmm. turns out they...
What?
Like, we knew that we, being, like, the American public who pay attention, but not many people, but it was known that, like, they did date mm-hmm. at one point. But it turns out he proposed to her in a letter.
A letter?
She said no.
Yes, because,
like,
bitch.
Of course, they weren't married. Like, they, yeah. But then they worked together for so long, and they mm-hmm. were, like, good
a
friends.
Letter.
But, yeah, he sent her a letter after he had graduated, and he wanted to talk to her about, quote, important things. In the first letter, he said he wanted to talk to her about important things. And then in another letter, he asked her, to be specific, Sandy, will you marry me this summer?
Oh, that's sweet. Also, I wouldn't want to be proposed to in a letter, but it's really sweet.
Yeah,
I
love, it was the 50s.
I guess, yeah. Everyone's writing letters.
Everyone was writing.
Yeah.
I mean, we knew at this
I
point.
I love the idea of it.
I know. I mean, and then she said
it's
no
romantic.
Anyway. But she didn't. The thing was, like, none of her friends, mm-hmm. family, no one else knew. So it's not like she even
wow.
told people about this.
She just had this little letter of.
And then she worked with him for so long. Like,
gosh.
And no one knew. So,
man, say no to a proposal would be hard. Did she
yeah.
send back a letter? Or she just like, was it like circle one? Yes, no, maybe. Like the letter I wrote.
I don't know.
I don't know. I like it.
And he did say. I mean, after she said no, he started dating someone else, and he later said to a friend before he passed away in 2005. He said that Nan, his wife. Who died in 1991, he said she was the only woman he'd ever loved. So that's good. And also, but if I were Sandra Day, I'd be like, but you did propose to me. So like,
right. So what did that mean?
Did you not love me? Also, it was the 50s, but still I'd be like, but still.
Right. Even though I said no, like, but what though?
Does that mean you didn't love me?
Because I'm sure he told her he did.
Maybe not though. Because
maybe not. You
the 50s in a letter?
I guess.
It should be implied
right.
though.
I mean, yeah, I mean, different times. I wasn't there then. I wasn't there then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. I'll do one more. So this is sort of piggybacking on our mass incarceration thing, but in like a nice way.
How?
I mean, because, you know, I'm down for, like, rehabilitation versus mass incarceration,
okay.
right? And, like, programs that are helpful to people.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I love animals.
Mm.
Okay. So there are two. She's apprehensive. Mm-hmm. What is this animal fact? No, it's good. You'll like it. So it's a two-parter, but it's one thing.
Uh-huh.
So there's a prison in Washington that pairs up, quote, death row shelter cats, like kitties that are going to be euthanized because mm-hmm. they just don't have space, with select inmates as part of a rehabilitation program. Mm-hmm. And so it's like they take care, you know, they just like love each other. And then there's also a program that makes prison inmates responsible for training and raising seeing eye dogs.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I like that a lot.
Yeah, so it's like a sweet thing where yeah. it's like, you know, they're helping the animals. The animals are getting helped, and like, yay to everyone.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
Yeah. I'll look up the turtle farting thing for next week.
Yeah. Thank you for you mm-hmm. know. My next one is this wonderful, keeping on the topic of love, at least on mine, you know, not turtle farts, but...
If it's not turtle farts, I don't want to hear it.
I know. There's this fantastic love letter that Amelia Earhart wrote to her husband, her fiancé, right before they got married the night before. I mean, now I'm building it up. It was sassy AF.
Yeah.
Basically being like kind of like laying out certain things that she was like needing and expectations mm-hmm. and stuff. And so she said, I'm just going to read it because it's quick.
Read that.
Dear GPP, because his name was George Putnam, I think. There are some things which should be writ before we are married, things we have talked over before, most of them. You must know again my reluctance to marry, my feeling that I shatter thereby chances in work, which means most to me. I feel the move just now, as foolish as anything I could do. I know there may be compensations, but I have no heart to look ahead.
Yes.
On our life together, I want you to understand I shall not hold you to any medieval code of faithfulness to me, nor shall I consider myself bound to you similarly.
I know.
If we can be honest, I think the difficulties which arise may be avoided should you or I become interested deeply, parentheses, or in passing, in anyone else.
Girl!
Please let us not interfere with each other's work or play, nor let the world see our private joys or disagreements. In this connection, I may have to keep some place where I can go be myself now and then, for I cannot guarantee.
Ooh, fuck that.
Yeah. For I cannot guarantee to endure at all times the confinements of even an attractive cage.
Ooh.
I must exact a cruel promise, and that is that you will let me go in a year if we find no happiness together. I will try to do my best in every way to give you that part of me which you know and seem to want.
Girl!
Boom.
Wow.
Yeah.
She laid it down, man.
Yeah.
Ugh, she was a badass.
I know. Kind of like, oh, that's a fun one.
I'm a fuck who I want. You're going to fuck who you want.
I'm still going to fly wherever I want.
I fly planes,
so,
bitch. Like, yeah, maybe I'll marry you, but, like, I'm gonna have
don't
a fuck pad.
To
I'm gonna fly everywhere. Just like whatevs. I love it. Living her truth.
Yeah.
All about it before her time.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Go, 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 go.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll do my last one really quick. It's not fun.
Oh god.
Half of all parents of small children have been exposed to misinformation about vaccines on social media. Which I just want to throw out there because the anti-vaxxer movement is super harmful and vaccines are safe and that's science and look it up. But also I want to have compassion for parents who are just trying to do the best thing. But just like look at facts.
Yeah, look at facts.
Look at facts.
Look at facts. There's no excuse not to.
Mm-hmm.
And then my last one can be super quick too. It's just this interesting... again, something that I learned from a podcast that I'm now obsessed with, The Age of Victoria. And the host spends three episodes talking about this eruption. The most destructive... Did I already talk to you about this before the podcast? I forget.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. The most destructive explosion on Earth in the past 10,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
was an eruption that happened in 1815, which feels like something maybe that would have some at some point come up in some earth science lesson, or like everyone would know about it because it was like,
oh, you did tell me about this on the bus to Portland. Yeah. Oh,
okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just that, I mean, because it's been, I was sort of like, you know, he goes through all the different things that sort of happened after this mm-hmm. volcano. It changed the climate mm-hmm. all the way to New England. I mean, it was called Mount Tambora, and it was in Indonesia. Like an estimated 10,000 of the inhabitants died instantly. 90,000 people died like in the aftermath. You could hear people like hundreds of miles away were thinking that it was cannon fire, so they rushed to their ships to try to prepare for a war.
That's bonkers.
And you could hear the eruption 1,000 miles away.
That is so many miles. That is terrifying. That is spooky.
The sky was dark for days, like the weather was apparently in the northern hemisphere. It was known as there was a chill that was known as, quote, the year without a summer, and that weather in New England like reversed. Mm-hmm. There is like a lot of really weird, crazy information about it. It changed like the landscape in Indonesia. It changed the climate. And it's crazy that there are other volcanoes that if they mm-hmm. like super volcanoes that if they erupted, they would like immediately impact the climate like globally.
Too much is scary in the world.
So anyway, yeah, Mount Tambora. I wasn't expecting that when I was thinking about mm-hmm. the Age of Victoria, but yeah.
She's always thinking about the Age of Victoria.
I mean, I love it.
When you're right, you're right. Also, I Googled it, and turtles fart out of their mouths. They fart out of their mouths.
I mean, that's, like, not cute. That's, like, that's, just...
I think it's cute and kind of like, what are you doing?
What if you were, like, turtle... What if turtles were kissing, and then they farted out of your mouth?
Maybe they kiss with their butts?
We should ask Mitch McConnell.
No shade to turtles.
I know. I feel like just calling him a turtle now is just not even satisfactory.
No, it's insulting to turtles. Yeah, he's actually just a piece of shit. Fart out your mouth. Do it.
Should we see?
Oh, and they breathe through their anuses.
Do they?
I'm done. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Should we see a couple things?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, let's see a couple things.
Okay.
A couple things. A couple peeps.
Well, I will kick it off with Trump's absolutely disgusting Federal Reserve pick, Stephen Moore.
Yes.
We see you, you fucking asshole. His divorce records have been unopened, and it doesn't look good for him, but it doesn't matter because Trump's standing by him anyway, obviously. But Moore was found in contempt of court in 2013 for shorting his ex-wife on more than $300,000 that he owed her for alimony, child support, and the balance of their divorce settlement. He apparently, like, cheated on his wife a ton and openly talked about his affairs and mistresses in front of his kids, including at one point at his son's graduation. All the while he's writing articles like in shitty places like the Washington Times, saying things like what's irrefutable is that marriage like with a devoted husband and wife is far better, a far better social program than food stamps, Medicaid, public housing, or even all of them combined. So how dare you, sir? We see you. Oh, and not that anyone cares, but he's also not a respected economist. He's like nominated to be, you know, on the Federal Reserve. And even a conservative economic advisor under Bush said that he more lacked the, quote, intellectual gravitas for the federal post. So this guy sucks. And we just a reminder that occasionally we forget or we try to forget that Trump keeps appointing, like, incompetent, horrible human beings mm-hmm. on every level to the government.
That's all I can do.
Stephen Moore, we see you.
We see you. So 19-year-old Amarion Banks knocked on the wrong apartment door. He thought he was at his girlfriend's apartment. He was, like, a few doors over. And there was a neighbor who heard what happened, and a man opened the door, and then, you know, he said the... Omarion said, I'm sorry, I'm at the wrong house. And then the man who opened the door said a racial slur and said, now you're at the right house, and then shot him to death. So that's that. His name is Daryl Bynes. We see you, Daryl Bynes. Omarion, the young man who was shot, is a black man, which I feel like can almost go without saying nowadays.
Depressing.
But we see you, Daryl Bynes.
We see you.
Fucking awful.
In Waco, Texas, it turns out that no one's going to be convicted or held accountable for that 2015 shooting between those two rival biker gangs. Mm-hmm. It left 9 people dead and at least 20 injured. In a statement yesterday, it was announced that all charges will be dropped. And that any further effort to prosecute in this case would be, quote, a waste of time, effort, and resources. So we see you, Waco, Texas. I'm pretty disturbed that, like, with, you know, all the different witnesses and all the different people, and they had initially rounded up, like, 300 people to charge mm-hmm. with various things. They're dropping all charges. You can't make a direct comparison, but I'm just gonna throw it into the mix. Like, you know, we had the Jussie Smollett where the Chicago PD comes out and makes a public statement about how justice was not served. Mm-hmm. It's just like justice is fucking unevenly distributed everywhere, and this mm-hmm. is just another instance of that. So, like, to the district attorney and, you know, the team over in Waco, you know, we see you.
You've been seen. Mm-hmm. My last one. So the federal government, this was Friday, granted $5.1 million to an anti-abortion clinic/group. They do not offer abortion services or contraceptions, and they say that they're going to use this grant money to, build a model of medical clinics so that a woman facing an unplanned pregnancy never has to darken the door of a Planned Parenthood again. Women have the right to abortion, and we see you, federal government/Donald Trump, and the Obira group, which is doing this. Fuck y'all.
Ew. One last thing, because this was today and I was just, this is horrifying. Women are suing a California hospital where they were secretly recording and filming women during childbirth. The reason, the explanation, which just doesn't make it better, but it's like, is I think equipment and drugs going missing in different rooms, and they put on like motion censored cameras to try to catch whoever was stealing, but it sort of obviously didn't work because then the cameras were just like recording anyone who was in there, including women who were like fully exposed, like you know, all manner of like getting C-sections and deliveries. Like, that's like the most vulnerable, it goes without saying, the most like vulnerable state that you could possibly be in. Holy shitballs. And like apparently all this this footage was like on unsecured staff computers and like, you know, so it wasn't even properly protected, not properly disposed of. So they're being sued, and we see you, motherfuckers. Come on.
That's what a violation. Gross. Yeah. Awful. Childbirth is not gross. These people are gross.
Yeah.
Clarify. And it's beautiful.
Good thing.
Sounded like I was sassy. Yeah, good thing. All right, let's close it out. Yay. A judge in North Carolina ruled against, there's a charter school which had this dress code that required girls to wear skirts. And they deemed this unconstitutional. But what I love about this is that this was like over years, and this was spearheaded by 3 girls that attended the school, Charter Day School in Leland, North Carolina. Their ages are 5, 10, and 14. And they launched this petition calling for an end to the uniform policy, and the school kind of ignored it. And then the ACLU was like, let's do something. And these girls were talking, I mean, it sort of goes without saying, but they're talking about how, like, okay, well, we weren't allowed to sit, you know, crisscross applesauce in class. We had to sit with our legs to the side. We couldn't play the same games as the boys. Mm-hmm. You know, skirts weren't as comfortable, you know, all these things. Like, let girls wear pants. What year is it? So, and the school, of course, quoted, like, you know, a conduct of chivalry being encouraged. It's all a bunch of bullshit. But yay, the girls won, thanks to the ACLU for helping out. And like, yes, girls, 5-year-old?
Yeah,
like,
that's so great.
My heart. Yes, little queen. That's and the 10-4, so like all of y'all.
Yeah.
Queens, 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 fight yay for your rights. It's also bonkers to me that in 2019 we're still like, girls have to wear skirts to school. I don't.
Yeah, I don't like being reminded that that's something we're still doing.
It's still a thing.
But that's a good thing.
Yeah. Girls should be able to wear skirts. Boys should be able to wear skirts. Boys should be able to wear pants. Girls should be able to... Like, wear what you want. Jesus Christ. Ugh. Humans.
Shouldn't
but yeah,
be
good thing.
Thing.
Yay, 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 yay. And then we leave it there because I have a feeling this is a long one. Yow.
This was... yeah.
But I think if there's one takeaway, honestly, at the end of this, it's that turtles fart out of their mouths.
We'll leave it there.
Because of their butts.
Ew.
I assume.
You assume? What was the butt part?
Something, what was it about their anuses? I don't remember. I said it.
I know. We'll have to just rewind.
Just look back and, wait, no, I have turtle fart still open.
Good.
Oh, there's videos. Do turtles fart out of their mouths? Yes. Oh, they breathe through their anus.
Breathe through their anus.
All right. We'll leave it there.